Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you, Father God, that you're in control of all things. I'm asking you, Father, to open up the spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do a perfect work among your people this day. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, they've called this today a National Day of Prayer again. So make sure that you're praying throughout today for God to intervene and do the miracle that needs to be done. You know, God told me as I was talking to somebody the other day that we are living in the time of the climax of two nations, light and darkness. And, all we hear about anymore is the coronavirus. We hear about death. We hear about being 6 feet apart, stay at home. And this is all good, to stay at home, stay 6 feet apart. But where's God in all this? How much of God do we really hear? And this is what the church needs to understand. We need to keep our focus on God and not the pandemic that's going on. We're not denying that it's not there, but we are saying that God is in control. And as we follow what God has us to follow, then I know that God is going to intervene and stop this thing. God has been calling the church to repentance for quite a few years now. And from what God has told me, that the church has not yet repented. The leaders have not yet repented. And he has to do what he has to do to get our attention. You know, we think things can't get worse, but they do. Look at the tornadoes and everything that are out there right now. I don't know what the answer is except prayer, repentance, and fasting, because that's what God's told me. That's the answer. The answer isn't to walk in fear. We have to walk in faith. You know, remember God kept telling us that church wasn't going to be as usual. Well, church is not as usual this morning, right? You know, now we hear about, now they're opening up drive-in churches, which, you know, there is one here in Dover. But now they're opening up all over. They're doing all kind of things trying to get people to stay in their faith. And what better way can the enemy work than to close the churches? But I'm really believing that the church in us isn't closed as individuals, that we are keeping the church of God open inside of our spirit man. And that if we do come in contact with somebody that's in fear, in hopelessness, that there's enough church in us, you know, God in us, that we can convince them that God is still in control, no matter what it looks like. One other thing I don't hear too many people say is that we are in, this is a spiritual warfare. It is light against darkness. And see, people are out there wondering what's going on. Well, they just need to pray. Just need to seek God's face and let him tell you what's going on. God has been trying to get us to get into the third heaven, draw close to him, and to listen to his voice for years now. Right now is whenever we need to be in the third heaven, hearing God's voice of instruction. If the church was where it should be, there wouldn't be all that confusion out there, because we would already know the answer, right? But we don't know, the church doesn't know the answer. God told me the other day, too, that there's a spirit of darkness that's looming over the nation that will strike at the right moment, bringing everything to a standstill. He hasn't told me any more about that statement. I am listening. But I want you to be on alert. If God said a spirit of darkness is looming over this nation that will strike at the right moment, bringing everything to a standstill. One thing that I've noticed as I read different things about different churches, there's so many people walking in fear, walking in the negative. And we are not supposed to ever go into fear. Fear is not a God. Fear is a sin. We are supposed to walk in total faith that God is in total control. Now, God has warned us that there's a recession coming, and we didn't pay attention to that. The problem with the body of Christ is we don't pay attention to the voice of God. We hear something, but we don't really heed it. We don't take it into our spirit man. We don't really listen closely and intently to what God is saying. This morning, God's talking about his love and his gifts. And God is saying, my love is so sufficient. My love will take you through every trial and tribulation. It is my love that is being shed abroad across this nation at this very moment. You might say, well, how could that possibly be? You know, God loves us so much that he does not want us to go to hell. And God is doing everything he can to get our attention and to serve him with all of our heart. God says, no place in my word does it state that I withdraw my love from my true children. I am always right there beside you, leading, guiding, and directing. It is my love that has been holding the enemy at bay in your life. I could lift the shield of protection and allow the enemy to totally destroy you, but that is not who I am. Yes, I am a God of discipline, and I chastise all those that I love, but I am not a deserter of my children. Please get that into your spirit. No matter what's going on around us, God is not deserting you. My children, God said, my children, I love to bless you, bless and not curse. I love to shower gifts upon you and watch as you open each and every gift, one by one. It brings your Father much delight to watch your faces light up like a little child's face on Christmas morning. Why would you ever think that I would do anything to harm you in any way? Are you not an heir? Then act like an heir. And Romans 8:17 says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are the children of the King. Let's start acting like children of the King. Now, he talked about gifts. Let's talk about the gifts. What are the gifts of administration? Ephesians 4:7-16 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, he started out saying, he himself, in verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? And then it talks about it is to equip everybody sitting out there to do the work that God has called them forth to do. You have to have a teacher to teach you. Then when he says in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, that's everybody with your giftings all working together, all right? According to the effect of working by which every part, every one of you sitting in here, you have a different part to play in the body of Christ. Every part does its share, and as you do, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. In other words, the body grows, and then the body will edify itself because all the gifts are in operation, edifying itself in love. God set all these people over us so he could teach us, so we could edify one another instead of just ourselves, And we do all of this in love. The problem with the body of Christ is there's not enough love being shed abroad to the rest of the body. It's push and shove, and that is not what God ever meant it to be. All right, so then God talked about gifts. Let's look at the other gifts now. What are the spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives all gifts. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. God gives the difference of ministries. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Let's read verse 4 again, 4 through 6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. As I read that, that's the Godhead working together in us to get us perfected so we can do the works that God has called us forth to do. If we would understand that, there wouldn't be jealousy in the body of Christ. There wouldn't be all this offense going on in the body of Christ. We would listen to God as he tells us what our giftings are. And then we would flow in our gifting, and then as we all flow together in unity and love, God's work would be accomplished. But that does not happen in the body of Christ. Everybody's always vying for the top rung on the ladder, and that's not how it goes. Verse 8 said, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit." These are all through the Holy Spirit. You see that? "To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." In the beginning, God said he loves to watch you open up your gifts. And what are the gifts again? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of these, and some have more than one gift. All of these gifts should work together to build up the body of Christ and to edify first the body of Christ and then all that we come in contact with. Some of you might have one or two of these gifts. Some of you might have all the gifts. But whatever you do, use the gifts according to God, the way God gave them to you, and do not abuse the gifts. All right, if you have a gift of prophecy, make sure it's by the Spirit and not a false prophet. All right, if you have a gift of healing, make sure it's God doing the healing and not some new age or whatever that's out there that's doing the healing and saying it's God. We have to make sure that we do everything with these gifts are given by the Spirit. So therefore, we have to move in the Spirit to see these gifts work. All right. I don't know about you, but I've seen many false prophets. And you can spot them a mile away. They don't walk in the Spirit. And when they speak, it's not in the Spirit. Yet everybody looks up to them because, after all, they came and they prophesied. Not all prophets are called of God. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:14. "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." In some churches, you see one person wanting to be all everything. But the Bible says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. We need each other, church. This is why the church and the nation is in the mess that it's in, the turmoil I'm hearing God say that it's in, is because we think we are it. We don't think we need anybody else or anything else. And we're out there walking cocky and proud. It's not of God, it's of the enemy. First Corinthians 12:28 says, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No, they are not. We just read about there's different gifts. And I remember when I first started, everybody was a bishop. And I said, God, what is this? Everybody's titled bishop. He said, they have titled herself. I have not called them bishop. So you see, people get in there and they want to be, okay, old bishop so-and-so's getting a lot of attention, so now I'm going to call myself bishop. And you're not a bishop. You're just a child of God, sitting in the house of God, wanting to be something you are not. You have to allow God to move in your life, and you have to allow God to give you the gifting or the titles that he so desires for you to have. Now, we would look pretty strange if we were all apostles. Everybody here was apostles. That's all. We were all apostles. What would we accomplish? And the Bible does say that they wish that everybody would prophesy. It would be great, and God is calling prophets. But what would happen if all you had was a room full of prophets just prophesying to each other all the time? Wouldn't edify nobody, right? Come on. I want you to really think about this morning, because God is saying the church is so out of order and they are not walking in their giftings that he's called you to walk in. You're walking in what you desire to walk in. All right, so then let's read the 1 Corinthians, because I want to tie this two together. 1 Corinthians 12:28 again, Brett. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles. You know, see that there too. He says, God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, then comes the miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Then he goes into 1 Corinthians 12:31, he said, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And let's go into 1 Corinthians 13 and see the more, desire the gifts, but let's see what it says about the more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Just like when God told me there's darkness looming, and at the right moment it's going to strike. See, I only know that in part. I don't know the fullness of what God is saying, because he hasn't yet revealed it. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, this is what the body of Christ needs. People need to become men and women and put all childish things away. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For right now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, we don't see everything the way God sees it. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, when we come face to face with Jesus, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. God has been focusing on these three gifts for quite some time now. The Word of God tells you to grow up. If you would grow up, we wouldn't have all the childishness that we have in the body of Christ. Everybody moaning and groaning and complaining because they don't get their way, because they think somebody else is getting more attention than somebody else is. There's so much strife and division in the house of God that it's not pleasing to God at all, and it's because you have not yet grown up in Christ. Sometimes I sit at home and I think, my Lord, will they ever grow up? Will they ever get out of childishness? Will they ever get out of self? Because when you're complaining about what people have done to you, you're into self. You haven't yet grown up and gotten out of self. So the more excellent way that Paul is talking about is, you know, all these other things are great because they come from God, but the more excellent way is to walk in perfect love. Perfect love. I don't see that in the body of Christ. I really don't. As much as God has been talking about it, I still don't see it in the body of Christ. It doesn't start in your home, therefore you don't bring it into the body. Come on. Just as Jesus is showing us his love, he so desires for us to shed the same love abroad to the fearful, the hopeless, the hurting, the lost, and the dying. The whole world is full of those people out there. Whenever they come into the house of God, they're full of that too, if they don't know Christ. So just as Jesus is showing us his love, he so desires for us to shed the same love abroad to the fearful, hopeless, hurting, lost, and dying. In this time of trial and tribulation, the body of Christ should be walking in total faith, fearing nothing, and hope, encouraging all those they come in contact with, and more love than the world has ever seen before. I don't care where you go from this day forth, you're going to meet somebody that's walking in fear and hopelessness. You should be walking in total faith, not understanding everything. I didn't say you had to understand everything that God is doing right now, but encouraging people that all is well. All is well. Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord at work on this nation. God has given us some promises that as quickly as this has come, it's just as quickly as it's going to go. And God told me that, he gave me that scripture about David. He said the leaders have not yet repented the way they need to repent, and the churches have not yet repented the way they need to repent. And you know, the plague kept going until David repented. He admitted he was the one that was wrong, and he repented, and God told the angels, stay your swords, don't kill another person. Do you believe God can't do that today? He could end that pandemic today if the church would be getting herself right. It's the church that God is looking at. It's the church that God is judging. He's also judging the people in the world. I know that too. But first and foremost, he's been shaking the church like you would never believe. And I keep seeing the same problems over and over and over again. And I can't understand this. When I was in prayer last night, God was really upset. He said it really makes him angry when you keep blaming somebody else because you're bound up. You're bound up because you want to be bound up. God said forgive and forget and move on. And when you keep going back to when that person hurt you, you haven't forgiven, forgotten, or moved on. You're stagnant, you're in a hole, and God said he's not pleased with that. And see, this is where the body of Christ has not repented. They have not forgiven. He had me teach on forgiveness. You have not forgiven those who have hurt you. One day you're going to hurt somebody. And you're going to want them to forgive you. And it's not going to happen. You reap what you sow. And if you would just get over what people have done to you and move on. And you know, I say this. I've been there and done that over and over and over again. But I have to keep forgiving people. What does God say? 70 times 7. I have to keep forgiving people and keep moving on. Or else I'd lose everything. And when I forgive somebody, I really truly do forgive them. And I'm not going to go back and rehash that thing over and over and over again. It doesn't get me anywhere. Does it get you anywhere? Absolutely not. You need to quit rehashing. And you just need to forgive and forget and move on. Come on. Psalm 103, verse 1. Wait till you get a ministry. You're going to want people just to really work with you. You're going to want them to understand that you hear from God, and they need to listen to what you're saying because God put you under them to instruct them. And they're going to come at you and say they're going to believe that they have no more than you know. And they're going to do all, the same thing you did to another ministry, they're going to do to you. Every time when I was first born again, every time I went into a church, I always worked for the pastor. I always said, is there anything I can do for you? I never wanted to be the pastor. I never wanted to be seen. I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. And so I'm going to be honest. Every now and then I say, God, before you put me in the church, I always helped the pastor. I never once came against him. What is going on here? I should be reaping what I've sown, and I've sown good stewardship to my pastors. What is going on here? So I'm just telling you that I do that. All right. And God always tells me I can't go against anybody's will. So you will to do evil, and that's why you do it. All right, let's go to Psalm 103, verse 1. I really want you to really get this down into your spirit because I think this is where we need to be. Psalm 103, verse 1, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's stop here right now. If the money crisis goes the way God's been telling me, he said we're headed for a recession. He told me that a while back. Now, are you still going to bless God when he takes all your money? Are you still going to bless him when you can't pay your house payment? Are you still going to bless him when you can't even go buy, you know, something to eat at the store? Are you still going to trust him when it looks like everything's falling down around about you? So think about this. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Right now, get yourself stirred up with everything that's in you, because everything in you is going to have to bless, just not your mouth or your ears. Everything in you is going to have to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is everything he does. Blessing. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Back in verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, So great is his mercy toward those who fear him. I don't see much fear of the Lord in the house of God. If people were fearing God, they wouldn't be in sin. They would be walking in total, complete love, fighting the battles that are before you, because we're all going to have battles. Every day we're going to have battles, because the enemy's going to work constantly, day in and day out, trying to take us out of the hands of God. And if we aren't strong in the Lord, if we aren't ready to fight, we're going to go under. God had me put up the sign warriors, and y'all did something to upset God. He said, take it down. They reverted and put up commitment. You had not yet committed yourself to God in all your ways. You still think you can hold something back from God for yourself, and you cannot. God wants you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He wants 100% of you. He told me, I don't want 99.9. I want 100% of you. So there's nothing left of you, right? Every bit of you belongs to God. So what are you fussing about? He's in control of your life, right? If you've committed your whole self to him, 100%. I can tell you have it because I listen to the way you talk and I listen to the things you do. All right? The other day, little Isaiah was doing something wrong, and he said, I told him he had to quit, and he said, you're not the boss here. I said, oh, really? Who all of a sudden became boss? He said, God's the boss of the house. I said, well, okay, the God in me is telling you to do this. You know? And so anyhow, you have to be totally and completely committed to God, willing to do whatever he asks you to do, good, bad, or indifferent. And the Word of God tells us we're going to suffer. If you didn't want to be a servant of God, if you didn't want to suffer, why did you become a servant of God? It's because you didn't know your Word. You didn't know how you was going to suffer. You just thought like me, oh, it's going to be a rose garden. And then when you came into being born again, then you found, oh my God, this is worse than when I was in the world. Right? You're like me whenever you heard, here I am, Lord, use me. Boy, you just threw your hand up here and shouted real loud, here I am, use me. You never counted the cost. It was going to cost you, it is costing you absolutely everything to follow God. We have to walk in holiness and purity of heart. And purity of heart means you have to be able to forgive, forget, and move on. I'm hearing God say the time is ripe right now for you to get your heart right with him and really move on to be the vessels of honor that he wants you to be. Verse 15 in Psalm 103 says, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commands to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. David is blessing God in everything that involves his life, absolutely everything. And in 15, when he said, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and is gone. And its place remembers it no more. You think of those old dandelion things, you know, the wind comes and blows that away, and they're gone, right? Not to reflower again. God is in control of all things if you allow him to be in control. Quit going back and laying down your cross. When you became born again, you promised God you would love him and follow him, then he gave you a cross to bear. These are assignments you're going to have all your lifetime. When you accomplish one assignment, he's going to give you another assignment. We are here to do his bidding. We are not here to have pleasures on this earth. And I didn't say you couldn't enjoy yourself. Too many people just think they're here just to live in pleasure. There's souls out there that God needs to bring into the kingdom. You are the vessels that God wants to use to minister to those souls, to bring them into the house of God. Now, if you aren't walking in faith, hope, and love, how are you going to minister that to a lost person? The Spirit won't be with you in its fullness, and so it's not going to convince those people that they can walk in faith, hope, and love. It's not going to convince them that this is not a hopeless situation that we're in this world. We're always in a hope, in a situation. Isn't the world always in a situation? It just is. It's one situation after another. One calamity after another. So, God is in control of the nations, is he not? Didn't he not create this world? Do you think he didn't know this was going to go on? Of course he knew this was going to go on. And really, as I went back over my old prophetic words, he's been telling us for quite some time that this day and this hour was going to be upon us. And we didn't listen to what he had to say. We were too busy trying to build our own kingdoms. We have to quit building our own kingdoms and build God's kingdom. I know there's many, many people sitting in the house of God wish that they would have kept their eyes on God and his assignment in their life, instead of taking their eyes off of God and putting them on herself and trying to build up their own kingdom. I know there are. You know, but you can't live in past regrets either. You can't. You have to say, God, I'm so sorry I did that. Repent, truly repent, and then move on. You know, there's a better life when you move on. You don't have to stay in that pigsty that you have yourself in. God is there, waiting to hear your voice, to pull you up out of that pigsty. God waits constantly to hear from his people. Constantly. Are you talking to him? When trials and tribulations come your way, are you asking God what's going on? You know, I've been praying about, I would really like God to stop this pandemic that we're in, because God told me it was a pandemic when it first started. And I heard the heavens are like brass. So the heavens have been closed for some reason. Now I'm going to study that more. I'm going to get more of that, because God just told me that this morning when I was praying. And that's really bothered me. I've been thinking about that ever since he told me that, you know. All right, now I got to find out, what causes the heavens to be brass over us? Excuse me, there's many, many things, because I started researching before I came. But ask yourself, what's going on in my life? Is it because the heavens are brass over me? What's going on in this nation? Is it because the heavens have turned to brass? If you really listen to, you know, to some of the ministers, they are saying the same thing that God's been telling us, repentance. God wants repentance. Now, honestly believe that whenever the church truly repents, and ministers truly repent, I believe this thing's going to stop. As I was reading about the heavens are open, you know, brass over you, I was reading something, an article about where the angels were ascending and descending, that these people had an open heaven over them. And I remember how I saw the vision in my home when I first started, of the angels descending and ascending, and so the windows of heaven were open over us, and it was miracle after miracle after miracle. And I was saying, God, is the heavens brass over the lighthouse? And then he said, did I not tell you that you're walking under an open heaven? So I know it's not anything that we're doing, but now I've got to find out for God, okay, what is going on in the world, and what can we as a church do to get the heavens open again? And I truly believe it's repenting, because that's all God's been talking about, is repentance. If you really are following anything the prophetic people are saying, I don't follow too much, because you can get really, I mean, they get off course. They're all saying repentance. But God's been dealing with us that we need to repent, truly, wholeheartedly repent, and then we'll be blessed. You need to ask yourself this morning, where am I at with God? Am I treating everybody with total love and respect? Do I have faith in what my eyes see, or do I have faith in what God's spoken to my ears? If you can't love your husband, then you're not walking in faith at all. Because God put that man with you so he could keep you, you know, pray over you, he's your covering. And if you're fighting and arguing with him all the time, then you're not walking in the love walk. And that's why your life is so messed up. God wants husband and wives to love each other. He doesn't want the husband to come against the wife. He doesn't want the wife coming against the husband. You two are supposed to be one. One mind and one accord. You two are the ones that you should be able to go to each other and just pour out your heart. And they should be there to understand. They should be there to be a sounding block. Why? So that you don't carry the junk into the church or into your workplace. And if you don't have the safety in your home where you can go and talk to your spouse, where is your safety? Where is your safety? There's a whole lot of things that we need to address in the body of Christ that's wrong. And once we address these things and get them under the blood and start living the life that God has called us forth to live, then things are going to change. Did not God tell us that when all this junk comes down, that those who were walking close to him would not be affected by it? Isn't that what he said? Then what's the problem? What's the problem? And I'm not saying y'all are walking in fear, but I know a lot of people are walking in fear. So I'm asking the body of Christ, what is the problem? Are you not walking close to God? So therefore, you know in your heart you're not walking close to God. You know in your heart you're not doing the things God called you forth to do. So fear sets in. Oh, I'm not doing what God called me to do, so now the enemy can attack me, which is true. You have to be walking holy before a holy God. You have to be walking in righteousness. But you have to be walking in love. This morning God said, he wants you to raise your hands toward heaven. Thank you, Father. I want you to raise your hands towards heaven. I want you to glean from me the electricity that comes from heaven. To touch your hands that soars through your body, that changes you from inside out, that will cause you to be a true child of the King, that will cause you to walk as Jesus walked, that will cause you to love the unlovable. My children, I am sending forth my anointing this hour for purity of heart, for love to surge through your bodies, and for you to become the vessels of honor that I've called you to become. I'm asking you right now as you sit in your seat to thank me for my goodness. Thank me for my long suffering. Thank me for my grace and my glory. For I surely am filling your vessels with my glory. And I'm going to send you forth into a lost and dying world to give hope to the hopeless. I'm calling you as fathers to the nation, the father of a lost and a dying generation. My children, I'm calling you out of lethargy into the full knowledge of who you are in me, so that you can go forth and accomplish the works that I've called you forth to accomplish. I am that I am. I am the Almighty, and I have spoken, and so shall it be. My children, don't allow the heavens to remain brass over you. quickly repent and let me restore you to your rightful place in my kingdom. Father God, we just thank you for your graciousness toward us. I thank you, Father, that you do forgive and you do forget. And that as we prayerfully come before your throne of grace, you do hear each and every word. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I really would desire for you all to do today is, this is National Day of Prayer. I would love for you to pray for the nations. I would love for you to pray that the churches and the leaders would truly repent so that God can lift this plague that's over the land. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, we truly do thank you. Amen.